You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, everybody have your Bibles. I want to share with you something on my heart, something just burning in me. That's generally what I do, just share what's burning inside of me. I figure if I need it, you need it too. And I'll try to be nice. Brenda's not here to keep me sweet. I tend to get a little hard, a little mean when she's not here, so y'all just bear with me, you know. She's got that smiling face, and she has those little looks that calm me down from time to time, you know. Okay. Psalms 138. Just makes you miss her more. Make you, you know. If I'm a little hard on you this morning, pray that Brenda gets back. No, I'll be nice. Psalms 138. I always thought this was fascinating. It just stuck with me years ago when I read it. In the second verse, Psalms 138, verse 2, I will worship toward your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. You have magnified your word above all your name. I want to minister along those lines about the integrity of God's word, about the wholeness, the completeness of God's word. And when I think of integrity, most people just think in terms of honesty. Man has integrity, he's honest, you know. But integrity means something more than that. Actually, integrity means the wholeness or the completeness of something, like the integrity of a building, the integrity of an airplane, you know, how it's put together. If the integrity is compromised and there's a crack in the wing or something, then the thing falls apart because it loses its integrity. I want to minister more along those lines than just truthfulness or honesty, you know, in terms of integrity. God's word is what holds God. I'm going to flip this too in a minute. Holds God together, and God is what holds His word together. You know, we often hear the saying, a man's only good as his word. Well, that's true in one sense, but his word's only as good as he is.
Right.
Yeah. And God's only as good as his word. If his word weren't true, it wouldn't be any good, would he? If he didn't mean what he said. But all through the scripture, we know he cannot lie. He is not a man that he would lie, nor the son of man he'd repent, the Bible says. And his word, well, heaven and earth will pass away, Jesus said, my words will never pass away. And we know he made everything by his word. And John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the same was in the beginning with him. Without him, the word was not anything made that was made. You go all the way back to Genesis 1 where he made everything. It says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. The third verse it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So everything was created and made by His Word. So it's all held together by His Word. It all is sustained by His Word. Why is that? Because God is behind His Word. Pure and simple. His Word is as good as He is. I mean, man's only as good as His Word, but His Word's only as good as He is. You know, anybody can say they'll do something, but only the person you trust and know to be truthful and honest, only his words mean something because that man is a good man. Therefore, his words are going to be good. Does that make sense? So here, this is interesting that he says he exalts his word above his name. I always like to say it like this. A lot of times we talk about the name of Jesus. We preach on the name of Jesus. We have authority in the name of Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus. Whatever we do in word or deed, we do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says. Jesus over and over, John 14:15-16, all those three chapters. He told us to pray or ask in that name, and whatever we ask in that name, He would do. If we ask anything in His name, He would do it. And all through the book of Acts, you see them using the name. And it's a tremendous teaching. We've taught on it before about the authority in the name. But see, you can't just ask for anything in the name, period. You have to qualify it. You can only ask in the name and expect to receive and believe what He says. Because God will not violate His word because of His name. Why? Because He exalted His word above His name. You couldn't ask for something unscriptural and say in Jesus' name and expect anything to happen and say, well, I use Jesus' name. Yeah, but you violated His word, and His word is above His name. Don't everybody shout at once just because I'm preaching good. Just trying to help you. Sometimes we get a little flaky. Sometimes we charismatic, you know, Christian people that believe the word, we can get a little off thinking we're using a biblical principle, but we're not balanced in what we're saying. We'll say something in Jesus' name that we don't have a right to say even. Or pray something in Jesus' name we don't have a right to pray. Now, I believe you have a right to pray anything in here in Jesus' name. It's when you step out of the confines of this that you sometimes get in trouble. Like you're going to go curse a beer joint in Jesus' name. Well, I understand God's not behind those beer joints, but you can't curse that beer joint in Jesus' name. God doesn't curse. In Jesus' name, you don't curse. Go by abortion clinic, just believe the thing will burn down in Jesus' name. You can't do... Are you kidding? That'd be violating what God does. God will draw those people, and God will deal with those doctors and deal with those nurses, and you ought to pray on your knees that the Word of God will come alive to them, they'll get saved. Right. Are you with me? But you can't, in Jesus' name, bring a curse on someone. Hello? Getting quiet in this Presbyterian church. But why couldn't you do that? Because you'd violate His Word, and He exalted His Word above His name. So when I pray in Jesus' name, I'll make sure that what I pray in Jesus' name is also scriptural. See, the promise gives me the right. There it is. It's in there. And the name gives me the authority. I can pray in the name because it says so in the Word. It says He will do thus and so. He said He wanted me to have this. This is His will. Now I go approach Him in Jesus' name because I have authority through that name. But it all rises or falls first on the Word. Actually, pray in Jesus' name is secondary. That's the second thing I do. The first thing I do is find out what the Word says. Because that's the foundation. That's the base. That's the integrity of God. That's the integral part of God. That's what holds God together. That completes and makes whole this thing. It holds it all together. There's a lot of peripheral doctrines, as it were. But the Word as a whole together is our integrity. I like that. Turn over to Hebrews 11. No, Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1. Helping you? This is good. Because I know God, therefore I know His Word's true. Think about that. You know, how can you... You know, somebody can read this Word and it doesn't mean a thing in the world to them. Someone else can read it and it's just... It's like light. It's revelation. It makes them shout. It makes them cry. It makes them dance. Woo! It makes them get on the phone and call people up. Pastor Rance called me this week about something that came alive to him. You know, he was all excited about it. He had to share it with somebody. So he called his pastor up. You know, we talked and kicked it around. And it was really, really neat. You know, but he was excited about something that the Lord had shown him that he'd seen in the Word. You know, Tommy and I will do that a lot in different ones. You know, well, what about this or what about that? Or we get excited about something that burned or came alive in the Word. That's the way it should be. But you know why this comes alive? Stay with me. You know why the Word means so much to us? It's because we know Him. You can just, a guy on the street come up and say something, wouldn't mean a thing in the world to me. I don't know them. Because see, your Word's only as good as you. Isn't that right? That's why some people read the Bible, doesn't mean a whole lot to them. That's why sometimes we read it, doesn't mean a whole lot to us. We're not, our relationship's not real good, evidently. We need to get on our knees. We need to get in fellowship more. We need to pray. We need to seek His face. We need to get that relationship going, that father-son, father-daughter relationship. Because then, once we know Him, His Word will mean something to us. Isn't that right? I know Christians that, you know, they love God. They're Christians. They're a believer. But they're not really serving God. They're not really... Are you with me? You know what I'm talking about? And then they read the Word. It doesn't really mean a whole lot to them. They believe it. Maybe, but not, you know, they're not really staking their life on all the promises. They're not really praying when things go wrong. They're not really standing on the Word when they need to be standing on the Word. I would submit to you it's because they really don't know Him. Because if they know Him,
that's right.
They know Him, they know that Word's powerful stuff. It's not a light thing. I mean, if Fred told me he was going to do something, I know Fred. I know Fred would do it. He'd do it. I wouldn't just... Oh, yeah, so what? Fred said so-and-so. Fred said he'd do this. Are you kidding? I know Fred. Fred's going to do it. If he said he'd do it, he'd do it. He'd just come, he'll come do it. I know His Word because I know Him. And His Word's as good as He is. So there's a lot in there when you think about it. I mean, when you start chewing on that, meditating on that, you say, well, what is this? How does this come down to me? Well, it comes down to how well you know God. How well you know God determines how excited you get about His Word. Isn't that right? And if you don't get real excited about His Word, you just don't know Him that well. Because I'll guarantee you, He means what He says, and He will do what He says.
Amen. Amen.
He will do what he says.
Amen.
But you have to know him to know that. Mm-hmm. You've got to know him to know that. Now, notice in Hebrews 1, real familiar, we've taught on Hebrews before. In fact, not too long ago, this year, we taught on the book of Hebrews. First verse, first chapter, God who at various times or sundry times in divers manners, King James says. He wasn't talking about a scuba diving suit. That's just old Keaton Jimmy for various or sundry. Sundry, that's when you don't have a dryer or washing machine. You know, you take it out in the sun and you dry it. But I'll have you so messed up when you get through here, you don't know what. No, sundry was a King James word for various, many, sundry, divers. Okay. Who at various times, many times and many ways, spoke in times past the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I love this. It goes on and says, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then he just goes on and makes the case for how Jesus is better. But in that third verse, notice how he says, he upholds all things by the word of his power. All things are held together by the word of his power. If you want something to come together, then you get God's word on it, and it'll come together. And it will stay together, and it will hold together. If you want something to come apart, then you take God's word out of it, and the thing will begin to deteriorate, and it will become apart. Your life will be a wreck, and your life will come apart without the word. Because it's the word that holds us together. It is the word that is the integrity of our marriage, the integrity of our life, the integrity of our chemical makeup, our personal makeup, our emotional makeup, all that. It's the word that holds us together. See? So what holds us together? Well, it's his word, the integrity of God's word. When I integrate, that's another word, integrity. To integrate something is to put something into the whole, to make it part of the whole. When I integrate God's word into me, then I become a person of integrity or wholeness or completeness. And so I'm always just doing what God does. I'm always saying what God says. I'm praying what God prays. And I'm living my life in line with his word. And so now my life has completeness and wholeness. See, you don't actually lose yourself in God. You find yourself in God.
Yeah.
You become whole in God. You become complete in God. Actually, when you go to heaven, the only people who go to heaven are complete people and whole people. The only people who go to hell are incomplete people, people who never were completed. Because we're complete in him. And so I was made whole when I came to him. Are you with me? I become a complete person. Be all you can be. That's what the army says. But if you want to be all you can be, you got to get to Jesus. Because you'll never be all you can be. You're still just unmade. You're still a statue waiting to come alive. You're still a puppet hooked up to the strings. But when we come to Jesus, the statue comes alive. The strings fall off. And we're complete. We're complete in him. Why is that? Because of his word. Because of the integrity of his word. It holds all things together. You know, even scientists, they don't understand why atoms won't hold together. And yet we spend billions of dollars trying to split one. It's kind of a mysterious thing how that thing just happens. What keeps that thing from electrons and neutrons just flying off in the world, you know, flying off? They don't understand what keeps the thing together. I mean, we know it does. I mean, they can identify that. And we have these atom splitters, you know, which are just huge, just massive amounts of money you spend on that splintered atom, you know. And yet, we really don't understand why your body just doesn't fly apart, you know. Why do all the atoms just hold together? I mean, electrons and neutrons and, you know, all these different particles, a lot of them are opposed to each other. They're opposites. I mean, they fly around each other. They can't get along. Oh, no. Like a lot of families. They just fly around, but they stay around that center. And we can't even split the thing without just spending billions of dollars. I'll tell you why everything holds together. God's word holds everything together.
Exactly.
It's in the Bible. It very plainly tells us he upholds all things by the word of his power. I like the way he said that. He didn't say the power of his word. He said the word of his power.
Yeah.
Word first, power second. There's no power outside of his words. Word is the power. It's not the power of the word. The word is the power. Ooh. So get the word on the scene. Get the word on the situation. Amen? And then become whole. become have some integrity, quit flying apart. See, it'll uphold you. It'll uphold your marriage. It'll uphold your family. It'll uphold your emotional makeup. Uphold your business. The Word will uphold you. It'll hold you together. It'll keep you from falling all to pieces in a crisis. I can tell you that. And anyone in here could testify to that, to a tragedy or a loss or a crisis in their life. It was the Word of God that kept you from falling to pieces. Isn't that the truth? Sometimes it's almost supernatural. Well, it is supernatural. I love that people ask you how you're doing. You ought to say supernaturally. We're doing better naturally. We're doing supernatural. Amen? But those times that the peace of God comes in when everybody should be just falling all to pieces, I've often heard people say this in the time of loss. They say, well, you know, I just don't understand it. I just know that the peace of God's been on us, and He's helped us, and He's carried us, and it's just, and I hear them say, it's just supernatural. And it is. It's just supernatural how God can hold us together. But that's the power of His Word. That's that foundation that you and I build on. See, the integrity of any structure is first based on what it's built on. You see these big skyscrapers? You know, they dig down deep, way down deep. In fact, the higher it goes up, the deeper they got to dig. And so the higher you go in life, the deeper you're going to have to dig. On your knees, internally, in your spirit, getting things right, being a person of character and honor, lining yourself up with God, keeping your heart right, you're going to have to dig deep if you're going to go high. Why is that? Because if you go too high and you hadn't dug deep enough, you can't sustain it. You can't handle that kind of... There's nothing that tests a man more than success. Hello. There's nothing that tests a person more than it being exalted. But if you can keep your character, see, if you can keep, if you dig deep, if you have a good foundation, then you'll keep your integrity when success comes. Your gifts may get you to a high place, but your character keeps you from falling off that high place. Amen. Your gifts may open doors, but your character keeps that door open.
That's good.
Are you with me? Because, and that's getting God's Word inside of us. That's being people of God's Word, people that honor Him and honor His Word, know Him and know His Word. And that holds us. That holds us on the high place. You know, you can, you know, that old saying, don't let success go to your head. You know, you have to watch that. You really do. Because you start thinking you're somebody when you're really not. You only got there because of God.
Right.
And any one of us can get there. And nobody's any better than anybody else. I don't care if you're the President of the United States of America. Hello. We all count. We're all important. We have tremendous value. And you have to always remember that. You know, I always heard it's not that you measure the greatness of a person not by how he handles himself or herself around great people, but you see the greatness of a person by the way they handle themselves around little people. And really, there are no little people. But, I mean, I understand the say and I understand the point. You don't want to lose the common touch. Hello. But how do you hold together? The Word holds you together. Amen? The foundation that you build upon, your character. See, we're talking about integrity. Integrity. We think about integrity. A man of integrity is a man who's got character. Isn't that true? I think of it this way. I read a book, I believe it was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, Stephen R. Covey, I believe said this. He talked about integrity and talked about honesty. Honesty is telling the truth. Honesty is telling it like it is. We can say, well, that's an honest person. Well, he may be honest and lazy and no good, but at least he's honest. You can be honest and be no good. Did you go to work today? Nope. That's being honest. Hello. You're honest. And I've noticed here you didn't, son, you didn't clean your room. Sure didn't. Just as honest as he can be. Just no good. Sorry. Needs to clean the room. Are you with me? But he's not dishonest. He's honest about it. That's not, integrity's different than that. Honesty is actually what honesty is. It's conforming your words to reality. In other words, whatever you see, that's what you say. That's being honest. That's a chair. The lights are on. It's cold outside. That's being honest. Integrity is something different than that. Integrity is not conforming your words to reality. Integrity is conforming reality to your words. It's making promises and keeping them. It's saying you're going to do something and do it. It's making it happen. That's the difference, just the opposite. Integrity is conforming reality to your word. You said you're going to do something, whatever it takes, we're going to make it happen. We're going to conform reality to what we say. That's why God's word, we talk about the integrity of God's word. God says something, it happens. Let there be light, there's light. God said he will do this, he will do it. You can count on him. A man with integrity is someone, or a woman with integrity is someone who will always do what they say. And the more they do, the more you know, the more you trust them, the more their word means to you. The more you know God, the more you trust God, the more his word means to you. Because of his character, because of who he is, because of his integrity. Hallelujah. God will not lie. Woo, hallelujah. And I know he won't. I know him too well. I found out something he said here. Praise God, I'm going to go stand on it. Why? I can stand on it. I know God will do what he says. He has never lied and he will never start lying. His word is as good as he is. And he's good. Amen? You can trust him. If he says he'll be there, he'll be there. If he says he'll do this, he'll do this. See, and you build trust in people when you do what you say. And you also destroy trust when you don't. Now, you can start again. You can pull it back up. I'm not pointing any fingers here. I told you I was going to be mean today because Brenda's not here smiling at me. Y'all better start smiling. It's going to get rough here in a minute. No, you can turn it around. You can start doing what you say. A lot of times you shouldn't say a whole lot. Sometimes we say too much. We commit too much. Are you with me? And we can turn it around. Let's, if we can't do it, just say we can't do it. If you can't do it, say you can do it. And if you say you're going to do it, do what you say.
Yes. Amen.
Do what you've got to do to make it happen.
Yeah.
That's integrity. That's keeping promises. Ooh, that's good stuff. That's how you get promotions on jobs. You know that?
Yeah, that's right.
That really is. I mean, bosses watch people. You know, and the more they do what they say and do what they say and even more, they begin to give them a little more authority.
Right.
Because they build trust. You build trust by conforming your reality to your words. See? Okay. Man, I've got so many places I want to turn to. Turn to Matthew 7. This is good. Hallelujah. I want to be a person of integrity. You know, there's nothing worse. And I'm a preacher. I are one. I'm not just criticizing anybody in particular, but I know a lot of times preachers will get up and it gets all over me. They'll stand up and they'll say, well, I believe the Lord told us we're going to be doing this. And then next week the Lord told me we're going to be doing something else. And then they get up and say, well, the Lord told me we're going to be doing, God said we're going to do this, and bless God, we're going to do this. A month later, they're doing something else. And never addressed the fact that they never did what God told them to do a month ago. I'm thinking, is God schizophrenic, bipolar, or what's the deal here? Well, obviously, they did not hear him, did they? Because you know God doesn't miss it. Are you with me? So, you know, that's one thing you don't hear around here. You don't hear me stand up and say, well, the Lord told me this, and the Lord told me that, the Lord told me that. You know, God has spoke to me on a few occasions. Very few particular specific words, okay? But he doesn't just talk to me like that every day. I have impressions, and I have a brain. And you got a brain, too. Isn't this great? I'm going to help you all out. You have a brain. Okay? You know what's right and what's wrong. Here's the thing. Do everything you can, do what's right. And you'll be in the will of God. You might miss it a time or two, but you'll always come back around. If you do your best, do what's right. Do what you know what the Word says. Get in the Word, find out what the Word says. And along the way, sometimes God will actually tell you something specifically. But most of our life is just obeying God, just doing the right thing. Did you know God didn't tell us to build a gymnasium? We just got that in our heart to do. We figure we want to expand, we want to grow. God didn't say, thus says the Lord, do a hallelujah night. Yea, verily, I will be there and I will bless it. Well, no, he didn't. But, you know, I mean, that would have been great if he did. That's fine. I believe in words. I believe God does speak specifically on occasion. But most of what we do, we see something good. We see something that's needful. We put our hand to it. God blesses it. We go on. And you know what? We give God the glory.
Amen.
Because he did breathe on it. Because he did bless it. But we're not always trying this and trying that, saying the Lord did this, the Lord told us this, the Lord told us that. And the next week, you know, we don't know what the Lord said. We're doing something else. And the people, all of a sudden, they just lose all trust in you hearing God.
Amen.
And they begin to wonder about God himself. And the reason is we've accused God of saying things he didn't say. And because it didn't happen, we've lost confidence. Now, I believe God says something, you need to speak up. I have no problem there. I've heard God on some occasions, you know, where I know God said things. And I know I've shared this. We were way behind on a payment one time years ago. We're out of debt now. But years ago, we were so far behind. We needed $2,000 by Monday morning to pay some bills. I mean, a payment on this bill, we'd paid 9 late payments 1 year. That's how much we'd struggle. I went to work in Dallas. I was working 60, 65 hours a week, and I was off Wednesdays and Sundays. So I was doing that in 5 days. And I made sure I was here Wednesday and Sundays to pastor the church just to keep my family going, because as the church goes, so goes my family, because we're on an offering basis. We don't get a salary. You know, whatever you put in pastor, that's what goes to us. So we have to believe God. When the church does good, we do good. When the church has struggled in the past, we've struggled. That's when I've gone to work. Man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. He doesn't provide for his own household. He's worse than infidel, the Bible says. And so, you know, my first obligation is to God. Second, my family. Third is the church. Hello. And so I worked it all together, and I got my family taken care of and kept pastoring the church. But we were behind. And I was believing God. You never heard me up here begging. There's people who have been with us 25 years. I've never stood in this pulpit and begged. I've never cried, take crisis offerings, moaned and groaned. But this one was so neat. We were so far behind. Our whole offering the week before was $200. The church offering, the whole church offering, was $200. We needed $2,000 to pay the bills the following Monday. On Thursday night, I was watching Christian television, watching this minister speak on something entirely different, not even anything to do with what I was thinking. And I just got through saying, Lord, you know, I'm not going to worry about this. One thing I used to always say is, God, you told me to come up here. It's not my idea. You told me to pastor this church. That was not my idea. I didn't even want to come up here, but you told me to come up here, and I did. I obeyed you. I'm glad I did. Glad to be here. But you know, we got a problem here, and I would remind you, this is not my problem. No, really, I'm serious. Lord, this is your problem. Now, I'm just here because you told me to come. I'm just pastoring because you told me to pastor. Now, when you figure out what you want to do, let me know, and I'll do it. But I'm not going to worry about this. I'm not going to stay up all night about it. This will drive you nuts if you try to take on the care of this thing, of anything, really. And you said, in fact, I quoted this, you know, you said you neither sleep nor slumber, so I'm going to bed tonight, and you stay awake. No sense in both of us staying awake all night about this. So, Father, whenever you decide what you want me to do, you let me know, and I'll do it. But I'm believing you in the name of Jesus to get that paid. I'm trusting you. I really believe that we will get this done. I no more said that than the Spirit of God spoke to me. He did. I mean, this is a specific word. This is back in 1987, 88, before Lakewood built their first big building that Brother Osteen, the senior, Joe's dad, John Osteen, the Lord spoke to me right then. I heard his voice as clear as day. He said, here's what I want you to do. He told me what to preach on that Sunday. And he said, now when you get through preaching, I want you to take the offering after you preach. I want you to get up and tell the people that you're going to receive an offering. Tell them what you owe. I want you to smile. I want you to be nice. Be positive. And tell them we're going to receive an offering. Don't make a pull. Don't take pledges. Don't have people stand up. I'll give 100. Who give 5? Who give 5? 5, 5, who give 5? Just receive an offering. And tell the people what I told you, that we're going to give the first $1,000 to Lakewood's Building Fund. And then I'll make sure you have the other $2,000 to pay the bills tomorrow. The week before, it was $200. Anybody was in that service? I'm telling the truth. Good, thank God. I got up. I was just positive, preached that message. And I said, here's what the Lord told me. And we had a gravel parking lot at that time, too. I said, God told me that we received this offering, that we'd give the first $1,000 to Lakewood Church Building Fund, and he would make sure the $2,000 came in. Now, if I've lied to you, I'm not a prophet of God. You can take me out in that gravel parking lot and stone me. I've lied to you. I'm not a prophet of God. And I smiled when I said it because I really hoped it didn't happen. But anyway. But I said, you come back tonight, Sunday night, and I'll tell you what the offering is, and we'll rejoice in God. I did. I said, if I lied to you, you can stone me out in that parking lot. I hadn't heard from God. But I said, I have heard for the Lord. Yes. Listen, we had the biggest Sunday night crowd we ever had. Some of those people I'd never seen before. I don't know. No, it wasn't. No. But we got $5,000 in that offer. Isn't that awesome? truth. Hallelujah. So I believe in specific words, but I mean, you know what? God's never told me that again. Oh, believe me, I prayed. He's never told me that again. But you just do what you know to do, and God blesses it. Sometimes He'll pull you back and say, I don't want you going that direction. You know, I go as much by red lights as I do green lights. I just do things, and I don't feel right about it, and I know, oh, we're not supposed to do that. I haven't heard from God, but it's not gelling. It's not coming together. We've done all kinds of things in 25 years that have been God. Some hadn't been God. Some of them we just stopped doing, and we started doing others. But I haven't stood up in this pulpit and say, the Lord told me to do these things. Hello? You don't hear that. You don't hear me saying that. I mean, if people hear that, that's fine. I envy people like that. I just don't have that kind of communication every day. I don't hear these things constantly, God saying, do this, do that. Most of what we do, we have in our heart to do. We see it. It's a good thing. We start believing God for it. We start working toward it. God begins to bless it. And it comes. Woo, hallelujah. We start calling it in. You know, we start believing and trusting God and calling it in. God hadn't spoke to us, but we start calling it in. Hello? Okay. Y'all found Matthew 7. Let me close this out. Let me try to close this out. Matthew 7. Jesus speaking here. We're talking about integrity. Just doing what you say. Honoring your word. Be cautious what you say God says too. That's the point I was making and all that. Be cautious what you say God's telling you. Make sure you heard it. I mean, if you've heard it, fine. I mean, I heard that one time about that. I know I heard God on that. There was no question. But you didn't hear me doing that every week and every month or every year. I never did that again. That was a one-time deal. We never did that again. I've never done that before or since. But that time I heard the Lord. Most of the time we just get up, we believe, we call it in, we stand on the Word. Amen? Okay, so be careful and cautious that you do what you say, and be cautious that you make sure when you say God said something that you really heard Him say it. Because what you promote, see, is a disrespect and distrust of yourself. And inadvertently, you do it for God. I mean, people start wondering about God. You know, what's going on here? So just have integrity. Amen. Jesus said this, and you know the passage very well. In Matthew 7th chapter, He says here in the 24th verse, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about integrity. He's talking about a foundation that has integrity, that will hold together in the storms of life. How does it have integrity? How does it hold together? Because it's built on doing what He says. It's built on His Word. And His Word is what upholds all things. All things are held together by the Word of His power. Amen? And God's as good as His Word. And if you believe God and you know God, you know His Word is as good as He is. And if you believe that, you will build your house on His Word. Because He will not fail you. And He will not fail to perform what He says. Because you know His Word? Yes. And because you know Him. Isn't that right?
Yes.
I mean, think about the Scripture where it talks about, Jesus talks about people going to heaven that He rejects. He says, I never knew you. See, he's talking, knowing God is what this is all about. Knowing Him, His Word is just a product, or trusting His Word, believing His Word, just a product of us knowing Him. Knowing God won't lie. Knowing His character and His integrity. Just like anybody. I mean, how could you trust anybody's Word if you did not know the person? And the more you know the person, the more you can trust the person. Or sometimes, the more you know the person, the more you can't trust the person. But with God, the more you know Him, the more you do trust Him. Amen? So He says, he that hears my words and does them. And there's two people here He's talking about. One person heard and didn't do. One person heard and did do. You know what the difference was? One of them trusted Jesus. One of them didn't trust Jesus. One of them really knew Jesus. One of them really didn't know Jesus. They both heard what He said, but one of them knew Him. One of them didn't know Him. Because if they both knew Him, they both would have done it. Hello? So one knew Him pretty well. One of them didn't know Him that well. One of them knew His Word was just as good as He was. And they built their life on it. The other one just heard His words, and it was just the words of another man. Heard a lot of people. Here's another one talking. and didn't build his life on it. Well, God's not another person. Jesus is not another man. Are you with me? Okay. So it says here, 24th verse, therefore whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man built his house on a rock, and the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. As a Christian, you're going to have trials and trouble and tragedy come, but you know what? You'll still be standing if you're standing on the Word. Tests come to all, but you'll pass the test when they come if you're standing on the Word. Rains come, winds blow, but if you built your house on concrete, on the rock of doing God's Word, then that's everything built on that foundation is going to stand. That's why we said about skyscrapers, they dig down deep but they go up high, because the foundation determines how much can handle, how much you can handle up here in the world where everybody lives. How much you can handle in life is determined by how dig down deep you've dug. Too many D's for me. You know, everybody, they talk about ADD now. Used to, in my generation, people had ADD D. That's ADD deliberately. But anyway. You heard the one about the atheist that was a dyslexic atheist. A dyslexic atheist does not believe in a dog. Okay. Okay, now I'm not being cruel. Brenda's not here, though. Okay, you know, you go tell her. You pray, Brenda comes back. Okay. So the 26th verse says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Because obviously you're building your house on somebody else's words, right? You're not building on his word. You're building on somebody else's word. And there's nobody like Jesus. And there's nobody's words like Jesus' words. And if you don't build your life on his word, you're building your house on sand. Because nobody has the integrity that Jesus has. No one has the character Jesus has. No one is going to conform reality to their words like Jesus will. And you know what? You're just standing on sifting sand and sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Actually, in one sense, all ground is sand, and only God's word puts concrete into it. That's pretty good, because really concrete has sand in it, but sand by itself will not solidify. And you by yourself will not solidify. But you mix God and his word in with your life, and that sand of your life will become concrete, and you become a very solid person. And you'll have a very solid life. You'll have a very solid marriage. You'll have a very solid emotional makeup or whatever the case may be. But make no mistake about it, you've got to build your house on the word. You've got to mix the word. You have to integrate his word into your life to become whole or become complete. Everybody in heaven is solid. Everybody in hell is incomplete and substantial. You never are completed except in him. God only takes whole souls to heaven, that's all. He doesn't take incomplete souls. He doesn't take unmade souls. He doesn't take sand up there. He just takes concrete up there. And we are living stones. Woo! How? Because we trust his word, because we have his word, because his word completes us, because it upholds us. We're upheld by the word of his power. So he says, everyone who hears the sayings of mine and does not do them, he will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. He built his house. He did things, but he didn't do them according to the word. Therefore, they didn't have integrity and they had cracks in the foundation and it fell all apart when the trouble came. You may look good for a while, but the test will come and the rain will come and the wind will blow. And if you're in the word, you can still be standing. But you'll come all to pieces if you're not, because you have no integrity. And that only comes from God. Only God can give you integrity and give you completeness and wholeness. And the rain descended and the flood came and the winds blew and beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. Listen, I tell you what. If you want to build your house wolf-proof, because the big bad wolf is coming. You want to build it wolf-proof, where he can huff and he can puff and he can try to blow your house down. Then you're going to have to build it on a solid rock of God's word. Because that's the only thing that will give you integrity and give you character and hold you together in the trials of life. It's important what you're built on. Amen? Because what you build on is going to determine how long you're going to last and the rest of the structure. So thank God for His Word. Amen. For the integrity of God's Word. When I say integrity, I mean more than just truthfulness. We're talking about the wholeness and completeness, the thing that makes us whole.